Isabel Johnson, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy confession of faith in him, I now baptize thee in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you. to make Christ, but there was only five to be baptized, and I only mentioned five names, but I'm glad there were six. I wish there were more. We'll close by singing hymn number 21. Number 21. Buried in the grave of Jesus, we believe what God has said. Faith is judgment acquiescing, reckons now that we are dead. Jesus died and we died with him. Buried in his grave we lie, one with Christ in resurrection, seated now in him and heart. Lord, we share in thy rejection, thy reproach, O Mary love. Here we stand in thy acceptance in the Father's sight above. Number 21.
Amen.
Our Father, we bow in thy presence again tonight. We mention once more with affection the precious name of thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our God, for this open tank of water, so eloquent of his death and his burial and his resurrection, pointing us indeed back to that moment when he went under the waves and the billows of divine wrath and judgment, while we know, our God, thou hast had thy portion. We bless thee, it was for us that Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. Our Father, we ask thee that this baptismal service tonight may have reminded us of Calvary and softened our hard hearts and drawn us to thee and to him in sincere affection. We thank thee, our God, for help given. We thank thee for the scriptures opened. Pray thy blessing on them to each one of us. Help us, Father, to face up to the challenge of these things and seek, if possible and if necessary, to adjust our lives accordingly. And we commend to thee our dear young brethren and sisters who have been baptized in obedience to the Lord's command. We pray that thou grant them a joy tonight in their hearts that perhaps they never thought was possible. We ask, Father, Lord, grant them thy peace and give them confidence to go on for thee and live for thee and work for thee in a dark and wicked world that has no time or place for the one who was crucified and with whom they are identified. Amen. Now bless us, Father, as we travel home. Guide and direct and overshadow us with thy presence. Grant thy blessing in days to come, until we see his face in light above. Take our thanks and hear our prayer, we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.
I understand today the distinctive birthday of our esteemed Providence and James Moore, and there will not be a decent day for this tonight, and I am very much to the joy of the sweetest heart of the wonderful birthday gift to God from the Lord tonight. Still, I would like to say before we pass that we do with thanks to him our very sincere wishes and our grateful thanks for all the tireless labor that he bestowed upon us for these years. And we pray that the Lord will be pleased to grant him many more years of fruitful service as what it would be in the United States. And I'd just like to add that to all the happy parents here tonight who have been there, sons and daughters baptized, we know that what we've seen tonight is the answer to many an errant prayer. And as you join tonight, brothers and sisters, we would like to tell you that we too rejoice with you for the joy of doing it for us.
Find another. So we read verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee indeed that we can join together in such hymns as these, and we can lift our voices to Thee in thanksgiving for the great prospect which looms before us. We bless Thee indeed, our God, that we can praise Thee for Thy love. We remember once in our experience when we quake before Thy presence and before Thy face. We realized, our God, our position before Thee, Thrice Holy God, and realized, our Father, that we were sinful in Thy sight. But yet, our Father, we thank Thee that Thou didst work with us, and that Thou didst deal with our souls until that time when we came to yield to Thy claims. Our God, we thank Thee for bringing us to realization of our own unworthiness and of Thy holiness and of Thy justice. We thank Thee indeed, our God, that we could be reconciled to Thee through the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless Thee indeed, our Father, for everyone here who has done this, who has laid down the arms of rebellion before Thy Son, and has claimed Christ as Savior and Lord. And our Father, as we acknowledge Him as Lord, we realize that we are in a wilderness in this world. We are pilgrims. We are traveling to a distant land. We do not belong to this place, but we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Help us all, Father, then, as pilgrims, to desire and to search after that food which will sustain us. Help us, our Father, to look into Thy Word for direction and instruction. And help us, our Father, to seek to live thereby. For we realize, our God, that there is nothing in this world which will help us and which will build us a new life which is within us. Help us, our Father, then, to desire that heavenly bride. We thank Thee indeed, our God, for all the eerie experiences which we have experienced in this wilderness. We thank Thee, our Father, for the refreshment from the unlikely places. We thank Thee, our God, for the refreshment even out of the rock. We thank Thee, our Father, that we receive all this through our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. We bless Thee, our Father, for these things, and will seek Thy guidance in the future. Even now, O Father, as we open Thy word, we desire that we might hear Thee speaking to us. Guide our brother now, as he will seek to give us Thy message. Give us receptive hearts, for Thou speak to us, and may we hear Thy voice. Thus we ask, O God, for Thy honor and glory, and for our well-being and spiritual upbuilding. Now, Father, we remember the various parts of these islands where Thy word has been proclaimed. We thank Thee indeed, O God, that we live in such a country, that Thy gospel can be proclaimed with ease and with no restriction. O Father, how much we are responsible to Thee for. Help us, O God, to realize our responsibilities. And our Father, tonight we pray that Thy Spirit may be even now working in the hearts of those who may be not. We bless Thee, our Father, when we see Your showers of blessing here and there. O Father, may we see this even in our midst this evening. These things, O God, we ask, and now commit ourselves into Thy hand. Amen.
Now we'll turn back again tonight to the book of Numbers. This time to Numbers chapter 41. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea and conquered the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now over to the New Testament, for a verse or two, John's Gospel, chapter 3, where we get our Lord's own comment upon this very same passage. John's Gospel, chapter 3, reading from verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, that is Nicodemus, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe, if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, may God bless to us this reading from his own precious word. Now last night when we were here together a fortnight ago, you'll remember that we were speaking on this scene here at Kadesh Barnea, where the 12 spies were sent to spy out the land of Canaan. And we saw that night of how 10 of them brought back an evil report. 2 of them brought back a good report, Caleb and Joshua. But you remember of how the people rejected the good report of Caleb and Joshua. We read that they were so bitter against them that they would have stoned them with stones. And the people followed the guidance and direction of the 12 spies, of the 10 spies that brought back the evil report. And from there they turned from the very borders of Canaan, and they wandered for 38 years here in the wilderness. And most of that time is covered between the times that we had brought before us last Sunday night and what we have brought before us tonight in the passage here in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, where we have the brazen serpent lifted up. All those years of wanderings, very little is recorded but failure. And my dear friends, surely this in itself should speak to us, as we think, as we had brought before us last week, of what those 10 spies represent to us. 10 spies that took their own way, that acted in unbelief, departed from the living God, and they wander for all those years in the wilderness. It brings before us the path of backsliding, the path of unbelief. And my dear friends, all those years, as I say again, very little is recorded but failure. And those years that were away from the Lord, out of touch with Him, years of backsliding spent in this wilderness scene, as years that are absolutely lost. I trust that we learn from them, that we realize each of us here tonight who are saved by the sovereign grace of God and on our happy way to heaven, that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're here that we might serve our risen, rejected Lord, and may God help us to redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil. It may be hard times, it may be difficult times, but may God help us that we might cleave to the Lord and to His Word, and seek to warn and serve Him in an acceptable way. What a tragedy that all those years in the wilderness were spent wandering aimlessly around. And my dear friends, is it not the case that many of God's own redeemed blood-bought people, saved by grace, I believe, and on their happy way to heaven, yet in this world today they seem to have no purpose in life, wandering aimlessly on and accomplishing nothing for God but for His glory. May God help us that we might have purpose in life, that we might seek to glorify our blessed Lord, that we might seek to work for the night is coming, when that day when we enter into His presence, we might hear those words as Philip did, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." All those people except Caleb and Joshua fell in the wilderness. Only they entered into the promised land. And we saw last night of how Caleb entered in there. At the age of 85 he could say, "Yet am I strong both to win and to come out as I was the day when Moses sent me to spy out the land." A man that was on for God. A man that starved God. A man that we read fully followed the Lord his God. A man that was faithful. God help us that we might seek to emulate him. So the 68-year psalmist wandering in the wilderness is now behind us. The people are now heading and moving on toward the Jordan, when they cross the Jordan and into the promised land. But on their way there, this passage comes before us from Numbers chapter 21. And I thought it well for us to turn to this evening and look at it in its gospel application. For surely that's what's brought before us from the command of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have read in John's Gospel at chapter 3. Notice this verse that we read here, verse 6. And the Lord, the people sinned against Moses. The people, verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have he brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And we read that the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Here again we see the children of Israel sinning against God, speaking against God and against Moses. And we read those searching words, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." And surely tonight as we read these words, it takes our minds right back to the book of beginning, right back to the book of Genesis, where we have the serpent brought before us. You remember there how we have Adam and Eve created in innocence, created in God's own likeness, and living there in the Garden of Eden. But we read concerning them that the serpent came into the garden. The serpent beguiled the woman. The woman listened to the voice of the serpent. And we read that she took of the tree of the forbidden fruit. And that very moment sin entered into the world. The bite of the serpent. She listened to the voice of the serpent. She disobeyed God. She sinned against God. And we're reminded by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans that as by the disobedience of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Right back there in the beginning, we see the work of the serpent. The serpent coming in upon the fair creation and deceiving our first parents, and sin entering into the world. The bite of the serpent. My dear friends, that bite has been evident in the world ever since. Sin has been existent in the world ever since. And as men and women grow and multiply upon the face of the earth, we read that sin waxed worse and worse upon the scene of time. You remember later in the book of Genesis of how God had to look down, and he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Sin entered in there at the beginning. Sin has been in the world ever since. And my dear friends, sin is in you and in me. Each one of us has been conscious of this. The word of God reminds us that we've been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In sin, says the psalmist, did my mother conceive me. Sin is in the world. Sin is in you and me as individuals, sinners in the sight of God. Paul, in writing to the Romans again, he reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The bite of the serpent here in chapter, in verse 6, and we read that those that were bitten by the serpent, they lay dying in the wilderness. Surely this brings before us the truth that we have already mentioned in Romans chapter 5. There how Paul declares that as by the disobedience of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sin brings death. No, my dear friends, remember that in each of us the sentence of death has been passed. Death is in us. The sentence of death has been passed upon us. We're sinners in the sight of God, sinners guilty of death. But notice what happens. The people cry to Moses, and they say, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. There was the people lying upon the wilderness sands, bitten by the serpent, a dying people, sent of their need, absolutely no hope. There they were at the mercy of God. But thanks be unto God in their need, they cried to the Lord. They confess their sin, and God in his mercy hears the cry. God speaks to Moses, and he says, make thee a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that looks upon the serpent on the pole, the moment he looks, he lives. Again and again throughout the wilderness journey we have seen of how God came in his wondrous grace and met the need of a sinful people. Here again God comes in and love and mercy upon them. Despite their sin and waywardness, God provides a way of salvation for them. And how it speaks volumes to you and me tonight as we think upon it. Moses, he says to Moses, make thee a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that whosoever beheld the serpent of brass upon a pole, that moment he lives. There they were dying upon the wilderness sand. All that they had to do was turn their gaze upon that serpent upon the pole. Look to the serpent. It was lifted up in view of them all. And if they would only turn their dying eyes to the serpent upon the pole, that very moment they lived. My friends, as we read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3, we see right away what this brings before you and me. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In the brazen serpent we have a picture of sin judged. Brass speaks of judgment. You remember in the brazen altar that we had before us in the tabernacle, we saw that before the people could approach God, the sacrifice had to be slain upon the brazen altar. There was God judging the sin in the sacrifice. You remember again in the brazen altar, in the brazen laver, we have brought before us self-judgment as the people came to the brazen laver before they entered into the holy place. And so brass speaks to us of divine judgment. And as we see the brazen serpent lifted up upon the pole, we see God's judgment upon sin. And this brings before us the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ sets before Nicodemus here in John's Gospel chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, my dear friends, let us ponder again. Let us think again of God's great plan of salvation to you and me. We who were in our sin, bitten by the serpent, dying from the wilderness stands, without God and without hope. And yet God, in his mercy, he sends his blessed Son into this world, and he goes all the way to Calvary. He's on his way to Calvary when he speaks to Nicodemus. He's bringing before Nicodemus how man can be born again. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And as we trace God's beloved Son through Gethsemane, right on to Calvary, and see him there lifted up upon that cross, where his crown was the crown of thorns, where his side was pierced, where his hands were nailed to the tree, we see there him lifted up, dying in our Roman state. My dear friend, as you look upon the sinless Savior, as he hung there upon the cross, realize this, that God was making to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. Think of God's great love for us. Think of God's great plan of salvation, that he could give his Son, that he could offer him up to the shameful death of the tree. Surely, friends, we hear his prophetic cry as he's lifted up upon the cross. He could say, all thy ways and thy bowels have gone over me. I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing. A holy God was laid upon him, the sin of a guilty world, your sin and mine, dear friends. Oh, think of what God in love has done for us. All our sin were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we are free. There, friend, the judgment was passed. There, Christ bore the awful stroke. To him, right of his will, say, Jehovah, thy head saw the way. Oh, Christ did walk against thee. Thy blood, the flaming blade must slay. Thy heart, its sheath must be. Oh, for my sake, my feast of egg, now sleeps that thorn for thee. Think of it, dear friends. The judgment that was your view and mine as a sinner, it fell upon Christ. He bore the awful load on Calvary's cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No, praise God for everyone here in this meeting tonight. I trust everyone. And look back to a time when by faith we believed in him. We received him as our own personal Savior. We accepted him by faith. That moment we realized that the judgment that was our due as a sinner, it was had fallen upon Christ. He had borne our Lord. And with the hymn writer we could say, God will not then entwist the man. First that my bleeding sure his hand, and then again at mine. Whosoever believeth in him, thank God as to the whosoever will. My friend, surely we can sing those words truthfully. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. They look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Just as the button is right has to turn his eyes and behold the serpent upon the pole. So thank God if we turn the eye of faith to Calvary and believe
in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He took our place, died in our room state. Then thank God that very moment, with the moment we accept Him, He accepts us. For as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That moment, the moment they look, they lift. And the moment, thank God, we look to Calvary by faith, we lift, we receive life. The very Christ of God becomes into our heart. We receive eternal life. We're born again, born from above, and born of God. Not only here in this passage do we have this brought before us, but further down in the passage, in verse 16, we read that they received water. And from thence they went to beer. And that is the way whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. If in John's Gospel chapter 3 we have life, surely in John's Gospel chapter 4 we have the truth of this passage brought before us. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when He came to that woman by the well, He says unto her, He says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In Numbers chapter 21, they receive life the moment they look to the serpent on the pole. Not only do they receive life in Numbers 21, but they receive water. And water speaks to us as the Lord Jesus brings before us in John's Gospel chapter 7 of the Spirit. This He spake of the Spirit that they which believe on Him should receive. And thank God, my friends, the moment that we look to God in faith and receive Christ as our own personal Savior, we not only receive life, but God's Holy Spirit indwells us. We're born again, born from above, born of God. In verse 18, they received the water. But in verse 17, they received joy. Israel sang the song, spring up, O well, stand unto it. They received joy. And surely, my friends, this is something that follows all genuine confession. If there's truly been a conviction, a realization of Israel's height of their deep need, truly they realized their need as they lay dying upon the wilderness sands. And I trust that each one of us have realized our need as we were sinners in this world without God and without hope. And under the conviction of sin we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive Him as our own personal Savior. That moment we were born again. And surely, my friends, the joy bells of our hearts were set ringing as we realized that our sins were forgiven. We were no longer on the broad road going down to a lost eternity, but we were forgiven, cleansed, and fitted for God's holy presence above. There receive joy. I trust each of you here this evening knows something of the joy of the Lord in your heart, that you're heaven born and heaven bound, going home to see our blessed, risen, glorified Lord, to be with Him and to be with Him through the eternal ages as they roll along. But not only in Numbers chapter 21 do they receive life, water, and joy, but in verse 24 they receive power. We read that they cast out their enemies. They defeated their enemies with the edge of the sword, and they went in and they possessed the land. And so it is, my friends, as we walk in fellowship with our God, as we go on to know our God, praise God for any measure in which we've known the power of God in our lives. Oh, yes, we can look back to a time when we were in our sins, away from God, when sin ruled in our lives, when the devil had his way with us, when we were made captive by him of this world. But oh, friends, I trust now we realize the truth that the powers of sin have been snapped. The shackles have been broken. We'll be set gloriously free. And I trust that we know in some measure the power of God over sin, Satan, and the world, that we might live a victorious life, live unto our God who has saved us and cleansed us and made us our, his very own purchased possessions. May God help us to live above the world. May God help us that we might have power over every evil that would beset us, and that we might live triumphantly for our God. There's people in Numbers 21. They receive life, they receive water, they receive joy, and they receive power. And God grant that in the spiritual sense we may know these blessings, that we might learn to know our Lord, to get a fuller and deeper knowledge of him, and that we might be able to accept servant in a more acceptable way as we overcome daily by the Spirit's power for his name's sake. That brings us to the end of what's before us here in Numbers chapter 21. Next week, God willing, we hope to move on, and we hope to cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land. So if you have spare time this week, if you follow up those passages from here on, follow up what's brought before us in the latter parts of this book, and see how the children of Israel cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land, then it will be helpful for you when we turn to it and consider the passages a little together next week, going on. Now we bow together for the prayer before we separate. Our Father, we bow in thy holy presence once again in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee again, our God and Father, for what thou hast done for us in the person of thy beloved Son. We thank thee, our God, that he bore the stroke of judgment there on the cross. Grant, our God, that the death of Christ might be ever precious to us. We realize, our God, that without the death of Christ, there was no hope for us. But we bless thee, our God and Father, that now the floodgates of life have been opened up. And we thank thee, our God, for all of us here tonight who have entered thee, who knows that our sins are forgiven. Peace with thyself, and we're on our happy way to heaven. Grant, our God and Father, that the joy of the Lord might fill our hearts as we go homeward and heavenward. And grant, our God, that we might know the power that it is our disposal, that we might seek to live victorious lives, serve thee in an acceptable way. So far as thou with thy blessing, our God, we pray, and remember us for good, as we give thee thanks for our coming together, in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.